So to finish up the last two bullet points on sensory motor integration, or slide 20, there has to be a perceived reason to activate muscle tissue for the reduction or stabilization of forces imposed on the body, or for the production of force to overcome imposed force on the body. And this is going to be achieved through the task of collecting and interpreting all incoming sensory information. So to move over to slide 21, sensory motor integration, they go into a little bit about how your movement patterns are only going to be as effective as the quality of the incoming sensor information. Or basically, if you are out of alignment and you don't know that, you aren't going to be able to correct that without having somebody tell you. And specifically, they talk about the skeletal system must be properly aligned to allow the muscles to be positioned at the right length tension relationships. And this is going to be known as structural efficiency. For instance, if your bones are, like say you have rounded shoulders, it's going to be important to understand that there's going to be some pain associated with rounded shoulders and trying to do an overhead movement. And also you have a proper structural alignment puts the body in the correct position to efficiently absorb, distribute, and produce forces. So like I was talking about before, if your shoulders are retracted and depressed, that's going to be proper shoulder alignment, and an overhead press is going to be a lot easier and pain-free if you have that sort of retracted and depressed shoulder blade motion. And this is going to be known as functional efficiency, or in which the muscles are producing the correct forces because of the proper alignment of the skeleton. And any deviation in the alignment of the kinetic chain causes altered sensory input that results in an altered motor response. So, moving on to slide 22, how do you know that you have an altered response or an altered motor response? Based off of feedback. So feedback is going to be, on slide 22, you have internal feedback and you have external feedback. And the use of sensory information and sensory motor integration to aid the kinetic chain in the development of permanent neural representations of motor patterns is going to be feedback. So once again, we have internal and external feedback. Let's learn about internal feedback first on slide 23. The information coming back to the central nervous system from all sensory receptors is going to be proprioception. So this is also known as sensory feedback. And specifically, internal feedback is going to be what the client feels. So when you're telling a client, hey, I have a, or go ahead and do a 5-repetition exercise, and then I want you to do a 20-repetition exercise, and I want you to feel the difference in your legs, or in your, we'll say, if it was a squat, I want you to feel the difference in the burning sensation in your legs. That feeling that they, oh, I feel the 20 repetition has a lot more muscular fatigue associated with it. That's going to be an internal feedback. And specifically, one thing important to note for the test is that when a client feels a change in their environment, it is considered internal feedback. So once again, any feeling that the client will say feels about an exercise or a change in their environment is going to be internal feedback. All right, so moving over to slide 24, you have external feedback, which is going to basically be you as the fitness professional discussing a movement pattern with a client. So you telling them, hey, that was an incorrect movement pattern, let's try to do something a little bit different, would be external feedback. You can also show them a videotape of themselves, which has now become more common with people with camera phones. So you can whip out your camera phone, video them doing a squat, and show them what you want them to fix. That's also external feedback. And also another form of external feedback would be something like the heart rate monitor, because you can't really sense your beats per minute just internally, we'll say. So this is also known as augmented feedback, nothing that important, but it's going to provide the client with an external source of information that will allow them to compare what they were feeling. So, what you just did right there was bad. So the way that they feel about that exercise and, oh, that's a bad movement, they are not going to want to repeat that bad feeling. But if you say, okay, now try to do your squats without your knees caving inward, that is going to be a good movement pattern, and they're going to feel what that feels like. And what that'll do is it'll allow them to compare your internal feedback with your external feedback to allow them to learn movement patterns more efficiently. So moving on to slide 25, you have two major forms of external feedback, and there's going to be one that's knowledge of results and one that's knowledge of performance. Knowledge of results is going to be after the movement is completed, saying, okay, you were successful at doing that or you were not successful at doing that. For instance, I like to think of knowledge of results as, oh, you shot the basketball from the free throw line and it did not go in. Okay, regardless of what happened, your result was bad. knowledge of performance would be that, oh, okay, so you're, regardless of if the ball goes in or not, your elbow positioning was not in the correct position during your shot or your performance. So let's practice a proper movement pattern in order to make your result more better or happier or better. So another example of knowledge of results is telling a client that his squats were good and asking him if he could feel or see his form. So that would be an example of knowledge of results at the end of the movement. Knowledge of performance would be noticing that during a squat, the client's feet were externally rotated and knees were caving in or knees were adducting, and then asking if they feel that during the performance. That would be an example of knowledge of performance. So to complete this slide, clients must not become dependent on external feedback, especially from the fitness professional, as this may detract from their responsiveness to internal sensory input. So you always want to make sure that you compare your information that you're giving them with the way that they're feeling about the exercise to make sure that they can learn efficient movement patterns and be able to do these exercises on their own. So moving on to the final slide, or just the summary, each system of the human movement system is interdependent, and specifically those are the nervous system, muscular system, and skeletal system. The entire human movement system must work together to gather information from the internal and external environment to create and learn movements. That's what we just talked about. The body uses proprioception, sensory-motor integration, and muscle synergies to create efficient movement or efficient movement patterns. And repeated practice, as well as internal and external feedback, allows efficient movement to be reproduced, which is going to assist them in learning different exercises. And also what's going to be important on this to kind of revisit further earlier on in this lecture, it's going to be important to understand the joint motions, muscle actions, planes of motion, the axis of rotation, and then the specific muscle that does each movement. So by example, if you were to lift or do a lateral raise with your shoulder, kind of like a shoulder or deltoid exercise, the deltoid is going to concentrically accelerate shoulder abduction. Okay, so right there we have the deltoid is the muscle, we have shoulder abduction being the joint motion, and that's going to be in the frontal plane of motion about the anterior posterior axis. And specifically, the muscle is going to be acting concentrically or shortening. And another way to understand concentric, eccentric, and isometric is concentric actions with free weights go up or go against gravity. Eccentric muscle actions always go with gravity.